Mr. Russell calling the president on 9-0.
Dick?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a little meeting this afternoon on Panama. They're meeting at 10 o'clock. They're breaking up. What they're insisting that we do is that we agree to renegotiate and revise the treaties.
Well, that's so unreasonable.
And we're not going to do that, so I thought that if they're going to charge us for breaking it up, then they're going to OAS and they may get all their Latin friends with them, you know.
I'm not too sure about that.
And they've got to, well, I hope not. We're going to try to make a strong pitch for parts of them. And we're going to try to do it. And,
don't you suppose, Mr. President, that they'd be guided pretty largely by what this subcommittee went down there at Panama says?
You
think most of
that? Well, this peace committee, we think, while they were ready to go along with this language we agreed upon, and I told them this morning, I want to talk to you and one or two others, and then I want to have a meeting of the leaders, because I want them to know what we're doing, because I think the Post-Dispatch and the Louisville Courier and the Washington Post, New York Times, and Milton Eisenhower and a good group of them will raise hell that we've been arbitrary and arrogant and the big, tough guy.
I don't believe you will. I haven't got the slightest bit of respect for either the Washington Post or the New York Times, but there's such a thing as making an ass out of yourself, and after you've agreed to discuss anything and won't in advance make some agreement to rewrite a treaty in some way that you don't even know how it's going to be proposed, I just don't believe that these papers will go along.
Well, in any event, we're going to, number one, we're going to put out a statement, and we're going to ask them to go over and not break off negotiations till 4. I'm going to try to get the leadership in sometime between now and then, just in the hope that I can get them unified so they'll won't go off in all different directions, the Morrises and the Fulbrights and the rest of them.
I believe they'd be absolutely unanimous on this, and I just can't conceive of it being any other way. Because this is utterly unreasonable. I thought we'd already gone too far. But when they come in and make us admit and make us agree in advance to rewrite the treaty in some unknown way that we don't even know, well, I just don't believe that any reasonable person will support that.
Now, on our Cyprus thing, we have suggested to them to get some Western European to negotiate this thing, Spock of Belgium or some other fella. And we don't want to get in there and getting the Greeks and Turks both mad at us. We've agreed that as a holding operation for 90 days, if they'll raise 10,000, that we'll go in with maybe 1,200 to maybe 2,500, depending on what they can get. The British have already got 2,500 and they'll go up to 4,000. Each one of us will have to take care of our own people. We've asked the Turks not to invade. We've asked the Greeks to quit making noise themselves. We've told them both that we can't feed them aid with one hand and then be fighting them with the other. And goddamn it, quit launching any wars. They're not prepared to finance. And we're not prepared to finance any. But have some reasonable man come in and try to sell them on the Sandy approach or petition or something else. And Lemnitzer talked to Turks yesterday, and he said unless they have a bunch more killings that he thinks he can hold them. And we've submitted this back to NATO this morning and told them to try to start discussing it. McNamara is not ready to go all the way yet until he hears a little more from Lemnitzer, and Lemnitzer's line was no good from Accra. But State and McNamara.
McNamara is not willing to send men in there right now.
Well, he wants to be sure we got a time limitation amount along the line. You and I discussed it. You and I discussed it. You and I discussed. Well, we told them that we weren't just going to take carte blanche authority and move in there. And after you and I talked the other day and told them about what all the Greeks would be doing in this country and the pressures that build up and how we'd have to be against our biggest ally. So I think if McNamara is just not run crazy by Vincent, of course he's having a wonderful cooperation from you and Vincent now, and he's pleased with it. I talked to him midnight last night. Vincent's going to run him to 9:30 tonight. And he's going to cut hell out of his research, but he said he cut it so bad that some of it has to be restored. Outside of that, he's strong for his bail and strong for what he's doing. And so he's going to run till 9:30 over there. But anyway, during the day...
Maybe the old waster lead after he restores.
Well, you'll have to put some of it back, I guess. But that's where we are. We're telling the British this morning that we'll go with these preconditions.
Well, that's fine, Mr. President, because I don't think we'll ever get them out of there if we get them in. How about some West Germans? Why don't we...
They're asking for Germans, and they're asking for Germans, and asking for Italians, and asking for Danes, and asking for a good many. We don't know what they'll do. We had to tell them we'd go before they could really get the proposal off the ground. We haven't told them that we would go, period. Mm-hmm. We've told them to submit this proposal, and we would carefully consider it.
You think you'll have that meeting down there about 4 o'clock?
I would think somewhere around 3.
3.
Yeah. I've got another problem. I think you've got to help me on this. They're trying to subpoena Walter Jenkins now, the Republican chairman. Got with Halleck Dirksen yesterday, and Halleck Dirksen refused to get into it, but they're trying to make a big play that Walter Jenkins has committed perjury, and he's the most honest man I know. He said in his statement that this damn fool McLennan, not much lawyer for Jordan, brought down here, he ought to give him a lot better protection than he did.
Well, I tried my best to get him straightened out on that.
He said...
That fellow Kitchens, he's the best man he had, and he's right here, just been to be for the house, an old FBI fellow. Daddy Leto over in the house. Yes.
Our lawyers say that McLennan, we don't want to say it to Jordan, but that he's not much lawyer, and he has allowed them to just screw the old man up some terribly. Now, there's no indication of any illegal or improper federal violation of any law, and my buying insurance or an insurance agent buying television. It's got no more to do with this investigation than a monkey, except they want to recall it every day, and they put it on the front page, and that's what they're doing. Now the question comes, our lawyers say we ought to let Walter Jenkins go up there and testify at all. All they do is just advertise that much more. Clark Clifford, Abe Fortas, everybody that we got says it's an outrage. Ted Sorensen. There's 6 men on there that were against open hearings, but Curtis this morning demanded open hearings so they can put it on television and go after Ms. Johnson's TV station. And now McLendon, the counsel, indicates to one of the staff men that he may call this fellow that bought the advertising an open hearing. Now, the truth of the business is both of them are very questionable characters. This Reynolds is no good. We've got all kinds of files on him. He's kicked out of West Point. Expert over at the State Department, forged a lot of names, and had to get rid of him over there. He's the guy they're using for everything. But the point is, we've got 6 votes on that committee, and all 6 of them have been standing together. And we think at every step they take will just get us that much further in, and nothing good can come out of it, nothing but bad can come out of it. And he ought to just say to them that he's not investigating who bought some time on a TV station in Texas.
Well, okay, I'll talk to him about it.
I just think you've got to...
I've met with Mr. President, and he can't understand this.
He's taking the position on once that he's not investigating Penware.
I know,
and now if he takes another position, he convicts himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But his staff is getting ready to get him to take another position.
He labors very earnestly to understand that 2 and 2 is 4. He's not that smart fellow.
No, but if you can say to him that he said that he wasn't investigating Penware, and it's none of his business who bought advertising on Ms. Johnson's TV station, and just because the Republicans want it, that's no reason we ought to convict yourself.
I'll see him on the floor and talk to him about it.
And you might say something to Dirksen, if you would. Why in the hell does he want to...
Well, he's standing up all right. I talked to him the other day, and he indicated...
Well, he didn't...
I spoke to him, Monday, I reckon it was.
Well, he had this press conference, he and Halleck and Miller did all the talking, Dirksen didn't, I'll say that. But it seems to me...
He can't control Halleck.
No, but he ought to have some influence on Curtis. They ought to be making this an issue on a personal family thing. They ought to do that, because they know damn well I wouldn't do it with them.
Yeah.
And talk to Jordan and let me know what you hear.
All right, I'll
see you at 3 o'clock.